Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week, where two old guys, an illustrious young actor, and a blossoming talented wrestler talk about old games. So on the show, it's a special episode because we've talked about her for a while, and now we finally have Leva Bates on the show. So say hi, Leva. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, how's it going?
And then, of course, we have a lot of actors on the show, but this time I'm talking about Jacob York of Wolf Fighting fame.
Hey, guys. Hey, everyone. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Leva. I was turning the lights off, so I wasn't here to say
hi. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's pretty romantic in here now.
We have to turn the lights off because everybody listening knows when they're on.
They don't sound as sultry when the lights are on.
What are you doing? Are you, like...
She's cleaning out her gutters. Yes. It's the only time she had available.
I just imagine Leva moving the same box back and forth next to her laptop. Just like...
just nails and screws in there. Washers.
That's where she keeps all of her hardware supplies. Well, I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And I was trying to think of a few intro stories... And the one I wanted to say for Leva being on, I've already told, but I'll bring it up because she's actually here, and then I'll talk about something else in a second.
Okay, great.
But Leva, I'd like to think that I'm the one who helped you get your wrestling career off the ground because I think I was the one that really hit you in the face really hard that first time that was like, I can sell this. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Okay.
Because you're playing Dynasty Warriors at like 9 a.m. I wake
like
up
like a baller.
I wake up and I walk in the living room and you're sitting there in pajamas, pigtails, bobbing your head back and forth, just killing stuff with a samurai warrior. And I walk up and you're so zoned in you don't realize I'm in the room. So I'm thinking I'm gonna do a chop beside her head and hit the couch and surprise her. But at the last second I miss. So to you, it must have seemed like I walked up and just backhanded you as hard as I could across the face. And you looked at me as if like it was so like, you're a safe one. You're not supposed to hurt me. Because it was the most heartbreaking look I've ever seen.
Just like Leva's eyes.
Way to wake up in the morning, you know.
Leva's eyes grow three sizes. And that's the thing, too, is that like Leva was always... was a difficult person to be around for the first hour after she woke up. And that was...
I don't know what you're talking about.
And that was one of the... that was one of the times when she was like, okay, like everything was okay. She had woken up and it was fine.
Say, I'll give this being nice in the morning thing a try. Nope.
Slap.
Nope. Done with it. Because, yeah, the first like hour to 2 hours, like generally you're super sweet, but those first 2 hours are just like...
She called it the hour.
No one, get up. Leva walks in the room. Everybody just falls silent. You go and get whatever you want out of the fridge and just walk back into Jacob's room. And then whenever you come back out bobbing your head, we know it's safe. It's safe to speak to you.
I guess I have my intro story now. Is that when there was one time that it was Tyrone, it was you, myself, and probably like Josh Nance and Ramon around. And we'd stayed up all night gaming, and then we had gotten up the next day and we're just kind of hanging out in the living room talking regularly, and the door to my room, which by the way Leva and I used to date, just to go ahead and let everyone
just
know,
just to go ahead and brag.
Yeah, this, I mean, you know, no big deal, but Leva and I used to date. and the door to my room comes flying open, and Leva, in like one of my t-shirts and some of my shorts, looking like a drowned rat, just hair all in her face, comes out.
Because you're 6'2".
Yeah.
And Leva is 5'2". 5'2".
Yeah.
So in Jacob's clothes.
And I was a lot heavier at the time, too. So, like, you know, it was super big on her. And she just came out, slammed the door, just yells, "Y'all are some loud D&D talking motherfuckers out here." And then leaves and slams the door behind her.
I remember, like, look, Ramon just looked terrified.
We were all super scared.
Anime hair shaking in the wind. But then my other intro I was thinking about was what I was just talking to Jake about in the house. Because last time when I was in Oklahoma, Meg and I were sitting down to dinner with Blake and his wife and some other friends, or Tim Bear of Mario All-Star fame. Yeah, you know him. We were all sitting down to dinner. And out of the blue, Blake is just like, "All right, Meg, there's like a mass murdering criminal. He's got a gun to your head. And he's making you have to sleep with one of Tyler's friends. You get your choice, and he's going to give you money. But you have to choose like different levels of how much it would cost for you to sleep with each one of them. But you have to do it. You have to do it. There's no way you can't not do it." So she goes through the stratifications and really compliments to Jacob. He had the lowest amount at, I believe, around $200,000.
Which is bullshit. $200,000. Like, you should be super happy to have, like, if there's a mass murderer that's about to kill you, and is like, "Oh, but like, how much will it cost to get you to have sex with Jacob?" You should be like, "Listen, 30 grand would be awesome. That'd be fantastic. $200,000 is way too much."
Well, Josh Nance was like $5 million.
Well, you know, this situation comes up pretty frequently.
Well, you got to be prepared when situations often, like that happen. Are we?
That's all I got. Unless we want to bat back and forth amounts that would take for us to sleep with various...
I'll just send you guys my spreadsheet.
What's up, internet?
I've already thought about this.
I'm Dave, and I would sleep with Jacob for $5.
Yep.
I would give Jacob $5.
Yep.
Because he is the handsomest of the handsome boy club tonight.
Feeling good on a Wednesday.
The one thing I remember the most about you, Leva, is the inordinate number of D6s that you had when we played D&D. It was always a lot of fun to play with you because I remember you get really excited when you could roll damage because you had like 20 goddamn D6s.
Why don't you take average? No! No!
It would
definitely. I remember Tyrone would always be like, "Leva, just take average." I'm like, "No! I just roll them all."
All right, well, Leva, okay, I'm going to go to everyone else, Leva. You just tally your damage. Because every time you hit, it was like 20 D6. And you would hit like 4 or 5 times in a round. And you rolled every. And what? Well, because you would roll all your D6s, and then you had a feat where you'd reroll every once. One.
Yeah.
So you roll them all, and then pick through and roll them all again.
Yep. It was pretty badass. I was pretty jealous, honestly.
And then if I hit, and then if I did Icy Stars, which was like magic missile, I could roll extra D6 on top of that.
So I remember,
it was ridiculous.
Josh came into that game like later, and I remember like you had renamed all your spells. So he was thoroughly confused anytime you'd cast something because you had your own name for everything that you did. What is that? What is Icy Stars?
Icy Cloud? No, Icy Stars.
Get off of my cloud.
Yeah, get off of my cloud.
Hasty Getaway was Expeditious Retreat.
This game's making a lot more sense to me now. Over a decade later.
Oh, man. I actually still have all of my player sheets.
Awesome.
Somewhere. I think they're upstairs, actually. Go through and start going through with everything that's called.
We should pick the game back
come
up.
Come visit, we'll go back to it. I still have, like, I don't have River. I think I have Rude and James Castle.
Yeah.
From your old characters.
Yeah, good, good. And I handed out some of mine. I know that I gave you a Clive, Dave. I don't, if you don't have it, that's okay.
But. I'm sure that I would never throw Clive away. I just don't know where he is. He's just lost in space and time right now.
Anything you gave Josh is probably gone.
Yeah, otherwise. I think I gave Josh a Rude.
What? Why would you give him Rude?
Because you weren't there, dude. It's like, I feel like I gave that to him when I was moving to Florida.
Let's okay. I feel like I want to explain the gaming relationships that both of you, that Jacob and Leva had in both of my first games.
Okay.
Because, one, okay, Ramon's first game, the very first game, was you played a monk named Rude.
Yes.
Backstory on that?
He ended up being, he was the crown prince of a king, but he was orphaned when a bunch of goblins attacked the carriage. A kindly monk named Matthew found him, but the problem was he didn't know his name. His name was Rupert, but he found the nameplate. It was broken, and all he found was R-U, and then an upside-down P, and then an E. So he was just known as Rude.
Was he polite?
He was neither rude nor polite.
But you got the name Rude from...
But I got the name Rude from old school wrestling in Hardin, Kentucky, because there was a tag team called Naughty by Nature, and one person was named Tully and one person was named Rude. And I was like, Rude, I like that. That guy's awesome. I'm going to name my character
I never
after.
Do that. I love that. I love that. I learned something about you today, and I love it.
We stuck around and asked him to go to Huddle House with us. He wouldn't do it, though.
Oh, I bet he would now. Oh, you're the Tadpog boys. You bet.
He'd be psyched.
And then the other game that you... Well, in that first game, Leva, you played a halfling named Sky.
Skystasia Summer Blossom.
Yeah!
Who is basically you, I guess, just turned up like one notch, maybe?
I don't think...
It's like if you took me and Excel from Excel Saga and had a baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got a super hyperactive, bouncing around all over the place. And she was hopelessly in love with Rude, who had wanted nothing to do with her at first. Like, the vision I had was he would just stand there and be really stoic, and she would bounce around him the entire time. Hey, Rude, what's going on? Hey, Rude.
It was a good 2-year seduction between the characters.
It ended up, they ended up retiring together to the monastery, and then apparently they accepted a fucking whatever, and then were like off of a fucking Facebook message or an email, and then they were put into some sort of weird stasis entirely so that they could be rescued by another campaign 4 years down the road that I wasn't even involved in. Ramon. Weird call, man.
I think we all wanted to go back to that game, and he was like, God, I want to do this. You're all lost in time and space. Okay, well, I guess we can't go back to that game now.
The end.
And then in my second game, because Sky had a brother in that game, so when you played Sky...
Who was, very sadly, who was killed by vampires, River Summer Blossom, her little brother.
So that in the next game, when you played a slightly different version of Sky, and then you decided to play...
But the interesting thing is, and I have no idea if this is interesting to you, viewer or listener, at all, because I feel like this, I worry that this is a little bit like talking about your fantasy football team, where like the only person who gives a shit about your fantasy football team is the person who owns the fantasy football team. But River was, I played as River first, because Leva was still at the Double JJ Ranch and Resort in Rothbury, Michigan, where I ended up working for a little bit. But... As a tribute to her, because I missed her, because we were still dating at the time, and I miss her now.
You're not dating now, so you don't miss her.
I still miss her, even though we're not dating.
Fuck you.
But as a tribute to her, I decided, you know what, I'm gonna do a Summer Blossom, and I will do this alternate universe where River lived and became a druid. And then later on, I ended up saving her whenever Leva came back and Sky started Sky showed back up again, this slightly different version of Sky River. The only time that I think that I ever had a critical hit was on this spell to like one shot the bad guy.
Yeah, that's true. The overpowered hammer of righteousness that just pow.
Yeah,
that spell was pretty redone.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I'm glad it's gone now.
I am too.
River is such a little asshole. I mean, adorable asshole. But.
River was the best, okay? And you don't know what you're talking about, so just shut up about it, all right?
I feel like an adorable asshole is pretty good. Pretty good. It's pretty Jacob.
He just didn't understand society.
Man.
Except for the one time where he tried to get someone accused of pedophilia and posed as a child.
Yeah, role play. That's how Tadpog rolls. We play D&D.
Yeah.
That really happened?
Yeah.
That wasn't a joke?
No, yeah.
What are you doing? Get away from me. I'm a boy. He's touching a boy. That's weird. Anyway.
It's been so long since I've done that voice that it doesn't sound right to me.
Well, Leva, for those listeners who don't know you, why don't you tell us more about you and what you do?
Well, I'm Leva Bates. Wrestler
All right,
by day.
Thank
That's
you.
That's it. Bye.
Wrestler by night. No, actually, I wrestle, I act, I work at Universal doing everything. I have my own geek YouTube show called The Geek Soapbox. Watch it, y'all. I do everything.
We'll
I cosplay, and I cosplay while I wrestle, and I'm all over the place, yo.
Cosplaying as a wrestling theme is such a good idea, and I've never seen it before.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I feel like the fans of this show will particularly like about Leva is that, you know, Leva has been a nurse from Silent Hill and Pyramid Head and Mario and Captain Jack Sparrow and who
Actually,
else?
Actually, I was Luigi. Thank you.
Whatever.
Chun-Li. I think Chun-Li was one of the best ones.
On my hat. Oh,
Leva. Oh yeah, for Leva. I think Chun-Li is probably one of the more successful ones. Recently had like a, or I guess 2 years ago, had a Daredevil costume. Like, has a huge...
Sexy Freddy Krueger?
Yeah, yeah. A huge list of costumes. And depending on the Federation that you are in right now, you're in kind of a place where you're not quite so cosplay-y.
Most places, yeah, because right now in Shine Wrestling, it still somewhat makes homage to geek pop culture.
to Greek culture.
to geek pop culture, but I'm kind of a lot darker. I'm kind of doing a Purge thing, but I'm using other pop culture references through the Purge. So I'm kind of just targeting people. I'm like a vigilante now there. When I am fortunate enough to show up on NXT, I'm called Blue Pants. uniform without showing the X because of trademark stuff. And as a joke, they called me Blue Pants and it stuck. So it's better than being a local talent. So I took it. I was like, let's go with this.
Because that trended on
so,
Twitter,
so
right?
Those two places, I'm not so much cosplay. They do make a lot of X-Men references. And because of Blue Pants, I actually decided I want to do a Beast costume. Wear the blue pants, but have a Tyler Breeze-looking vest that's all furry and big furry boots and my yellow cat eye contacts and have my hair all blue.
That's awesome.
So expect that soon. Surprise! Cat's out of the bag. I'll be doing Beast sometime in the near future.
Sweet.
Other places like WSU and other companies, I still do like Leva, old school cosplay Leva. Yeah. I got to do a Dudley for WSU because we're in the old ECW arena. For those of you who don't really follow wrestling, the Dudley Boys originated in ECW, and they are my trainers. So I kind of paid homage, did a little shout-out to them. First time I ever wrestled in the old ECW arena as them. With the tie-dye, the glasses, the overalls. And then I've also done Cobra Commander recently, Ash from Pokemon. I got to run around with a girl named Sue, but we called her Pika Sue because she has a Pikachu outfit. So, I still do cosplay. Yeah. Just different companies want me to do different things.
Do you prefer to do like the gender bending thing as opposed to playing like a
sexy girl?
Yeah.
I
doing Ash instead of Misty because every girl does Misty.
Being like, oh, look at me, I'm sexy. Because that's just not fun. Anyone can do sexy. But can you pull off a Jack Sparrow? Now that's where the money goes.
Yeah, and you know, and Blue Pants has been so fucking great and fun, especially for me to watch as someone who's so close to you. Just to see Blue Pants trending on Twitter, like worldwide trending on Twitter, and to, you know, and a lot of people may not know, because if you don't have the WWE Network, then you probably are not watching NXT, but NXT is kind of like the developmental territory for WWE. It's where people go before they are on Raw and SmackDown and stuff like that. And just, I don't know, getting to watch you and getting to watch you go on and, you know, wrestle the NXT Women's Champion and get a win against Carmella. Like, I don't know, it's been so much fun to watch.
It's been a lot of fun to do as well. I can't lie. It's been a blast. I've had fun every time I've been there. There hasn't been a time and I've been like, I'm enjoying this. No, it's just everyone's super nice. Everyone's just great to work with. They even like listen to my ideas, and I'm not even, you know, signed.
Because whenever like, Jacob told me that you were working with the Dudleys.
Well, I'm pretty good at kicking. All right, well, let's do that. Okay, cool. You actually let me do that. Because the thing is, normally when you show up and you're not signed, you know, like, all right, well, it's going to be like a couple minute match. I just take whatever you need me to take. All right, cool. You know, but what do you want to do for, you know, your comeback? What? I get to do offense? I get offense? And you let me choose what I get to do? That's cool. So, so that's really cool. Just everyone's just so nice and supportive. Like right before my last match there, and my other episode aired, and a few minutes before I went on, one of the guys came up to me, who does a lot of their social media. He's like, just let you know, you're trending worldwide right now. I'm like, ooh, that's so crazy. Mm-hmm. So I had such a high right before I went out and wrestled again. So it was so cool. It's like, oh my God, that's so cool.
You're the only person
so
I know.
It's just trending. Really fun. even got to do some their other shows. So that was a lot of fun as well. So there was a week when I pretty much did back-to-back-to-back stuff. And it was a whirlwind of chaos and fun, which is pretty much the land I live in anyway, because you guys know this.
That's your general state of mind.
And by the way, by the way, everyone, just so that the people at the table know, and also the people listening, is that sometimes you're going to hear us trying to talk to Leva, and Leva will not stop because she is deaf as shit. Because fucking Awesome Kong punched her in the side of the head and ruptured one of her eardrums.
God damn.
So, like, just a heads up.
Well, put that in the show notes.
Yes, it was bad timing. But, so just a heads up, there will probably be a couple of times where we try and jump in. And it's like, and shit, Leva's going to keep on. She's just going to keep on. Just be prepared for that.
I don't mean to.
We know, dear. We know.
I say go for it. This is your first time on the show. I know you're busy. Who knows when we're going to get you back? So I say talk as much as you want.
Because whenever Jacob told me that you were training with the Dudleys, that was when I was like, oh, this is a legitimate thing. Mm-hmm. This is happening. Awesome.
Yeah, and my, like, it's still been, like, a thing that it's been one of the wonderful sort of blessings of us separating as a couple but staying so close as friends has been, like, I know that I wouldn't have been as supportive as she needed me to be during that training, because, like, as much as I love professional wrestling, I see a lot of the struggles that women have in it. I see a lot of the, you know, there was just an article about, like, Lana from WWE, who is on who's Rusev's valet, if you follow, just tweeted something about, like, basically equal pay for women, and just the shit that she got directed at her was awful and disgusting. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, I love wrestling, but, like, a lot of wrestling fans are awful and misogynist, and that's just sort of how it is.
Yeah.
But, like, to see So I didn't want to see my friend, someone that I cared so much about, go through that. But like, Leva is just so effortlessly charming and wonderful and really interacts with her fans. Like, it's great. It's great to see.
Yay!
Leva.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, man.
Well, now that you're here, you could probably help us field some calls from Tadpog fans.
Okay.
Who are about to be soon to be Leva Bates fans. Mm-hmm.
I don't mean I don't want to put you on the spot, but I do want to ask you, how familiar are you with our show?
Pretty familiar.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't get to listen near as much as I want to. I did listen to the first half of your last show because Tyrone was like, "Hey, Leva, you should probably listen to our show before you go on." There's been several times when Jacob's like, "Hey, dude, I'm on the show," and he sends me a link. I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, cool. Okay. I'll listen to it during cardio."
The reason that I asked
doesn't like your website. Like, I'll listen to like part of it, and then it'll just stop. And then I can't find where to hit play again, and I'll reload the page.
Listen to the website.
And I'm like, "You're a son of a bitch."
You got to get Downcast, man. You got to get Downcast or get on SoundCloud.
What? The reason I ask is because.
Oh, okay. So that would make it so much easier. SoundCloud?
Yeah, I'll send you information.
Okay, cool.
These calls, Leva, are probably going to ask about buttholes and masturbating and all kinds of weird shit.
The Golden Girls.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles. So I just want to let you know that that's pretty much what you're agreeing
to. Brace yourself.
What kind of show are you guys doing here?
You know, I've asked that same question, Leva.
We just like talking to dudes about, you know, buttholes and jerking off. It's not a big deal, right?
It's like 60% buttholes and jerking off, 40% video games.
Something like that.
It's how we do.
All right. Here we go.
All right. I've got some calls pulled up. We might hear from some familiar people. One person might actually be at the table right now. Oh, so hey, that's going to be interesting for that person. I'm not going to name who it is. But this first call is from someone local, 270.
Tadpog. This is Jacob of Wolf Fighting fame.
I'm just fucking with you. we already played that call. I just wanted to see Jacob's reaction.
For those of you who didn't know, that was Jacob's dad, which makes it so much better.
Yeah, my dad called in on the April 1st episode and did a great job.
It was the best. It was the best.
It was very funny.
All right, now for real. This is the first call we've got from 951.
Fucking Tadpog. Hey, it's Matt. The Hammer, Weidenhammer here. Just got done listening to the Catherine episode, and yeah, dude, you guys totally nailed the nickname, man. That's awesome. But hey, anyway, thanks for all the fun hours of entertainment, man, and thanks for the nickname. And probably some more broken phone calls to follow later on or something. But yeah, keep up the good work, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye.
You're welcome. You made it easy on us.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a really easy one. So thank you.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna need subtitles.
Yeah, that was kind of difficult to hear.
It sounded like an adult from Charlie Brown.
He was that was Matt.
Guys, I think Leva's in trouble.
That was Matt. He was thanking them for the nickname.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right, you guys,
she's deaf as shit. It's not a joke.
Some of these are text messages, so we'll have a better time with those. Here's another call. The next call is from 319.
Hey, guys. It's your pal, J.N. here. I'm just calling to let you know that all those impressions that are coming in of me are absolutely terrible. If I had to rate them, I would easily say they were a 6. I also called today to see if you could help me out. Nicole left me on the couch. Bye.
All right, 319 with our first entry to the Josh Nance impersonation contest. That's the first official entry. Leva, we're having a contest where people can call in and leave a voicemail and try to sound as Josh as possible. And one of our listeners, Color Mage John Sullivan, has donated art that we're going to give to the person who Josh thinks sounds the most like him.
That one sounded less like Josh and more like Strong Sad to me. Like a deep voice Strong Sad. Hey guys.
It wasn't the exaggerated Josh voice that I'm
maybe that's
accustomed
part of it.
To.
Yeah.
He might have been going for like the gritty
super
the gritty reboot.
So we have to have I want Nicole and Josh's mom to come on for a special judging episode.
I think that'd be great.
I fooled Renee before, his mother, with a Josh impression. So
that's pretty impressive. Maybe we should just give you the art.
probably.
Leva, what's your Josh impression?
I don't know. I have to hear it. It's been a while. I just remember Dakar. Mountain Dew.
That was Josh's barbarian in the very first game that we played under Ramon.
Where is he from? The Mount Dew. Looking around, sees a 2 liter of Mountain Dew. That was it.
And Ramon, are you serious? All right, it's in the book now. It's canon.
Mountain Dew.
We got a text message here from 559.
All right.
Who says, "Hello, I've been listening to the show a few months now. Really enjoy it. I've incorporated a few of your Tadpog isms into my life. Like asking someone, if you had to give it a hat or glasses." I don't know, he just threw hat in there. I guess he doesn't have a beard. "But I've branched out. I'm now asking, if you could give it a cheese, an old muscle car, or a period flow." Thanks for the inspiration. How do you, I mean, we could do that. I can start asking
you. Can you give that a period flow? Yeah. I don't know how to answer that.
Tyler, what do you think of Shadows of the Empire? If you were to give Shadows of the Empire, I don't know, a period flow?
Nightmarish. That's a thing. You can buy tampons in like strong, slim, and
heavy,
and nightmarish.
In Jedi. We got a call from
Leva. Silence.
Yeah. Sorry about all the period talk, Leva. I know that's totally what you expected. We got a call from the helicopter shop.
Jay, Tyler, I just wanted to call and make mention. I'm finally caught up on all things Tadpog, and really glad that you guys are making money for the show. And just wanted to let Lord Mike know that until he spends X amount of dollars for 2 brand new microphones for your guys, his Patreon ain't shit. And then also on top of that, I was walking through the apartment complex that I live in and was listening to the episode where you went on about the 40 foreign names for a vagina, and there was an Asian female walking in front of me, and I was so ashamed that I had to turn it off. I'm pretty sure she wasn't in earshot, but that's going to be a regretful recall that takes me a little while to get over, because here she is walking her dog, and you guys are saying things, maybe in her native tongue, maybe not, that are, very, very offensive, and I felt terrible. So, I just wanted to know if you guys have had any recent regretful recalls that you were reluctant to talk about on an intro story. Maybe you could share those with us now. But until next time, hey, Lord bless.
Bro, Blake, you've got to get some earbuds.
Zach.
Sorry. Zach.
Oh!
I'm sure I offended both of them. No, I mean, that's like, I don't want to, is that woman going to hear Tadpog?
Or is she about to fuck Zach? Like, oh, I'm going to fuck, what's he saying? No, never mind. No.
What's he listening to? I want to know.
Do you just skip the disclaimer in the beginning now, Zach?
Yeah. So yeah, regretful recalls.
I can think on that.
Leva, do you know what a regretful recall is? It's pretty self-explanatory.
A regret what? Phone call?
Regretful recall. It's when you, it's, Tyrone, you're the inventor of the term.
It's like, well, I called it something else. Somebody else called in and said, I think it was Tony who said, call it a regretful recall.
Oh, nice.
But I think we originally called it a flame flame. Damn it.
Are we having a regretful recall?
Shame flashback, not flash shame back. As my brain was like, no, say this. This is the word, Tyler. Don't try to fix it. That's it.
That's a good
flame flashback.
That's a good Shadowrun name, though. Yeah. Flash shame back.
But it is like, but sometimes like maybe you're just doing it like you're working out or you're grocery shopping and you'll just randomly remember something that you did that's incredibly embarrassing and you'd like relive that shame all over again.
I find that a regretful recall is too, like, there's something a little bit more specific about it, is that it's not necessarily even embarrassing as much as it's like, I made a conscious decision to do this. And then looking back on it, I think, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, is that fair? Like Taryn and the bag phone. She didn't think that there was anything wrong with wanting to go in and at the moment and show everyone how great she was.
Show the rest of her family that they're shit compared to
her.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, she's like, oh, fuck, man. What an asshole. So that's what that is. Do you have any of those, Leva?
I'm thinking. not really.
Bullshit.
I mean, nothing that's really funny. I don't know. No.
See, I haven't had one in recent memory.
I don't believe her.
And you pretty much, every time you have one, it's an intro story, yeah. Right? I mean, and I do the same thing. I mean, every day of my life is pretty much a regretful recall. Like, I mean, something always happens where it's like, oh, well, probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's always minor things like going to bed at 3 a.m. when I wake up at 7, like that kind of thing. That's a lame ass regretful recall that I'm not going to come on the show and be like, I'm Davey, respectable host, and I got to bed too late.
What a silly boy.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, it doesn't really hit me out of nowhere. I won't be like shopping, like, oh, that was bad, you know.
You can always call in if you think of something.
Anytime it happens, yeah, just call in and leave us a voicemail.
Fucking think about it and get sad about it. Let's all go to a really super dark place with our regretful recalls. I'm not, because I've never been on the show when regretful recalls are happening, but it is hard to be put on the spot for one.
Yeah,
and to be absolutely. Like,
what is one?
Yeah,
the only thing that
they just randomly sort of bubble up, so it's hard to go searching for one.
The only one that I can think of for me, off the top of my head, is not even a good one, but it's when I, like, when I was a little kid and I told my aunt, you're not my mom. And, like, it's just one of those things where... I know, I was factual. I mean,
hopefully.
It is, like, on the top five, like, shittiest things you can tell an adult as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's one of those things where it's like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I'm sure that as soon as we are done recording, I will think of one and be like, ah, shit, fuck, there's one. Glad I didn't remember it. Yeah, I don't want to tell anyone.
Why don't we have like a hashtag, regret, recall, and then we tweet it out to you guys.
I like that idea.
That's pretty good.
I think that's a good idea.
Good.
Or was it shame what? Shame flashback?
Oh, flash shame back.
Regret recall?
Flame slashback.
I also want to point out that since St. Zach at the helicopter shop left that voicemail, he actually did pledge on Patreon. So on top of the two nice microphones that he donated, he is actually pledging to the show as well. So that's super nice. I will say, don't worry, Exalted Lord Mike of Purdue, he's not pledging as much as you are. You're still top dog.
For the moment.
He is currently top dog. That's very true.
While I'm mentioning that, Brandon Eves of Axelay fame, he also has chipped in to the Patreon. Thank you very much. Please come on the show again. And Paul Cluel of What's Paul Playing Today pledged as well.
Which I would like to give him the title of Ruby Baron.
Ruby Baron.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That is his programming language of choice, and he's already Baron, so now he is Ruby Baron.
Baron on rails. I'm stalling right now because we're actually recording this earlier than we normally take calls. So we don't have a huge backlog. Mm-hmm. So if we just want to take a lot of time on these next calls, that would be perfect.
Okay.
It looks like this call is in from an old friend of ours, a Meister.
Friends of Tadpog, Meister Wiley here. I wanted to call and congratulate you on your 200th episode and issue a challenge to the Tadpog Nation. I love this Patreon idea, and I want to make it retroactive. So in Thanksgiving for the new list, I love the new list, by the way, and all that backlog quality, I want to offer a matching gift for all those back episodes up to $1 an episode. So if anybody will pledge $1 up to $200, I'll double it. So I hope we can get that done. And in true Tadpog fashion, I'd like to call this achievement, You Show Me Yours, I'll Show You Mine. Love the new list. Keep up the good work. Congratulations, guys.
Wiley owns a plane.
That's true. Whenever Wiley comes to visit, he flies himself in.
What a great fucking dude that guy is.
That's incredible.
He came into like my TV and Xbox have been broken. And whenever he came in to visit and see Homer's, he just immediately took the back off the TV and started working on it. Was like, oh, here's your problem. I can tell you exactly what it is. If he had stayed for an extra day, I guarantee my TV would be working. But unfortunately, he left it in my hands. So it has remained unworking.
No, Wiley's pretty amazing overall. Like if I could like Siler and Heroes take anybody's abilities that I know or have ever heard of, I'm going and I'm taking off the top of Wiley's head and taking all of his mutant powers.
But what how does that leave him though?
I assume
fuck him.
I mean,
I knew him then, so it's fine. I'm going to assume Wiley's eternal and he'll just be like the cheerleader and just get right back up and be fine.
We have to work out the logistics of that because Patreon's weird about large sums of donations because it's all like on a monthly basis. So Wiley, let's work it out and we'll figure something that will work with Patreon. And we've talked about this briefly, you know, off the mics, but we haven't got any particulars yet. But I know whatever we decide, whatever you decide to do, Wiley, is going to be incredibly generous and humbling to us. So thank you.
Yep.
It's fucking awesome. Mm. That shit is fucking awesome.
All right, we got another call. This one is from Lord Dennis.
Hello, Tyler and Dave. I'm just calling because although I've listened to it's like 2-3 years now of you guys talking about video games, I hardly ever play a video game. This is Dennis, by the way. I don't know if I fucking said that, but you should know. I'm pretty famous. Anyway, I never hardly get to play a game, and the last game that I actually bought was MLB The Show 2012, which I've played for 3 fucking years, and finally just bought a new game, which is MLB The Show 2015. I like the very things. And so anyway, I just thought I'd give a quick review of the game. And then 3 years from now, when I buy another version of the show, I'll call back and give another review of that game. And it'll probably be pretty much the same, which is, it's a good solid baseball simulation. It's not for someone who wants to just play an easy sports game. But there are a lot of edible sliders and options to kind of gear it towards how you want to be. A lot of different batting options. I like the batting kind of configuration they have now and kind of a new directional hitting. But at the same time, I end up just setting the options back to the way I had it, which is kind of zone hitting. And also with kind of an indicator to make it a little more challenging. Pitching's about the same. It's pretty much a roster update. The graphics are a little better. But my complaint with the rosters is they should just wait to set the fucking game until the rosters are set, because now you got a roster full of people who've been fucking cut already, and you got to wait for the first update, 2 or 3 weeks into the season. Just fucking wait. I'll wait. But that way I don't have to pretend to play a game with a roster. Anyway, I just wanted to add some sports to it, your show, and enjoy talking about mages, all that shit, whatever the fuck that is. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks, Dennis. I'll have you know, I own MLB. I own that game. I own the 2012 game. I got sometimes I would just want a baseball game. Sometimes I just want to play a baseball game. And I went out.
I've never had that urge.
Oh, so, I mean, it's rare. But sometimes I was playing this this very Korean baseball game on my phone. And I was like, man, I'm getting pretty good at this overly arcadey baseball game. I'm pretty sure I can handle a big boy baseball game. So I went out and bought the game that Dennis is talking about. And I had no idea what the fuck was going on. This was the hardest game I have ever played. I played that game. Nikki came home and I was playing it for maybe, I'd been playing it for 3 hours. And she was like, what are you doing? Are you playing a baseball game? Like, she was just flummoxed. And I was like, yeah, I am. I have not hit a ball once. I had not hit a fucking ball once. The scores of these games was like, I mean, it was like 15 to zero.
I have not, so far, a base has not been involved.
No. It was pretty much an incredibly frustrating experience.
Is that the series that gives out $1 million to the first person to pitch a no-hitter?
I wouldn't
perfect
know.
Perfect game. Yeah. They did that a couple of years back. I don't know if
it's
they
a perfect
still do
season,
it,
isn't it? Yeah.
But that's kind of the problem with a lot of contemporary sort of simulation based sports games, though, don't you think? Is that like from my perspective, it's gotten so much that every year they iterate based off that past iteration, continue on, that it gets so obtuse for a new player to just come in and pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm sure that there are probably ways to, like, you know, sit down and figure out, okay, all right, Madden, how does this work? But I don't know. I think that they're just kind of counting on the people who have been playing it for a really long time,
sure,
continuing to buy it. And then hopefully, you know, if your friend who doesn't play video games sits down with you, you say, oh, fuck, it's Madden. It's easy. Here's how it works. Blah, 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 blah. And then to have someone there who can literally walk you through. Because I know, you know, it got to a point where they had made some changes to the NBA 2K series that the last time I sat down to play it, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I love the NBA 2K series, but it got away from me in a couple of short generations. Yeah. And by the way, I feel like Lord Dennis brought up a really good question, because something that I wanted to talk about on this episode, I felt like it would be a good way for us to all sort of talk about a thing is, hey guys.
Yes, Jacob.
What you been playing?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to start with Leva.
Leva.
What
you been playing?
Not a whole bunch of anything. Honestly, Pokemon on my DS, Omega Ruby. I'm playing that right now. I got Pokemon Shuffle for free, so I've been playing that. That's actually taken more of my time.
I don't know what
than
that
the
is.
Actual Pokemon game.
What is that?
It's crack.
Oh, it's
I'm
crack.
Also playing,
it's just crack.
Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm game on DS. I play a lot of stuff on DS because I'm not ever home.
Tyler, let me borrow that.
Play,
it's a fun game.
Any console games. I have not really had time to play console games. Last console game I played and beat was Hyrule Warriors.
Of course.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, right now, I'm pretty much just playing stuff on my DS. And I don't really have too many games for it yet, so I just kind of, you know, doing the Pokemon thing and put my headphones on and doing Theater Rhythm. I really like that a lot. That's adorable because they're super chibi. It's all my favorite characters from all the Final Fantasies, and you get to play with the music. It's all rhythm. I like it a lot.
Do you have a DS or a 3DS?
3DS.
Ah.
But not the new one.
Yeah, I hate they do that shit.
3DS.
Yeah.
It's got a nubbin.
I know. I want it so bad. It's ridiculous because it's like, oh, the 3D is so much better. That's what everyone says. And it's like, I want the 3D to be better.
Yeah, or at least usable.
Yeah, because it's really,
I never
mine
use the 3D, yeah. Ever.
I hardly ever use the 3D. I just kind of keep it on a low setting and just play.
Well, leave it like, so this is essentially, way underneath all these layers, it's a gaming podcast. So tell us, I mean, what kind of a gamer are you?
I mostly do, if I have the time, I consider myself mostly an RPG gamer, but within the last several years, I'm all about, I don't even know what type of game they're called, but like the Heavy Rains and the Beyond Two Souls and the Telltale games. I really want to try the Borderlands Telltale games and the Game of Thrones ones, because I did the Walking Dead one and loved that, because it's pretty much you're just playing through an episode of a show-ish. I love the games where your decision affects everything. Because one time I was playing season one of Walking Dead for on Telltale, and I got like the best ending you can get. My roommate, she ended up playing it and got the worst ending. Like no one, because the thing is, you know, you got a good ending if everyone follows you. You're like, yeah, we're gonna go with you, and you know, we'll all go together and die, or you're completely utterly left alone. And it's so cool to see, like, all right, so this is what I did, and I had the entire group with me, and this is what she did, and had no one come with her. Like, nah, we ain't coming. Good luck. Good luck, Lee.
I don't know. I've been a good friend when all of you go to kill yourselves with me. If no one else goes with me, I know I've been a bad friend.
That is a true test.
Bad end.
Leva,
you died.
Have you thought about doing a Clementine cosplay and whooping some ass? Because I think that'd be pretty awesome.
Do what?
Have you thought about doing a Clementine cosplay?
Oh my god.
And whooping
maybe,
some ass.
Maybe.
Just have a little sign that says Clementine will remember
fun.
That.
Yeah.
Have the little hat.
Yeah. Yeah. And every time you hit somebody, you say Clementine will remember that.
You know, a friend of mine did a Clementine cosplay at Dragon Con,
yeah.
And it looked, she did all of the like brush strokes on her face.
Yeah.
And it looked so good.
That cell like
oh,
that cell
wow.
shading makeup.
That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that you guys recently for Board Game Week on the Geek Soapbox played some board games. Was there any of those that you particularly gravitated toward?
Well, I ended up buying Flux and playing that for the first time.
I
never
Flux.
Played it, but I keep seeing it everywhere and hearing people talk about it. So I ended up getting the Monster Flux, and we fell in love with that. We ended up playing that for most of the night. What else did we play? We played a lot of different things. I ended up getting... Oh, I also got the Batman version of Love Letter.
Interesting.
That was cute.
I didn't know that existed.
Love Letters is one of those really quick, easy, fun games. But it's not anything too involved. We ended up not doing anything too crazy like Pandemic. Or he ended up buying Boss Monster. But we just wanted to play a bunch of games. And so it required way too much reading. And he was like... All right, let's check out Flux instead.
Yeah. You guys need a Nicole.
So,
or a Wiley.
Or a Wiley, who loves reading rules.
Have you played The Wolf Among Us, Telltale's Fables game?
No.
That's
it's
probably
worth it.
My favorite one.
Yeah, it's worth
of all
it.
The Telltale games I've played, yeah.
Woo, I'm going to play that then, like right now.
You
bye,
can't,
guys.
All right, see ya.
Bye, Leva. Thanks for being on the show.
That would be such a Leva thing to do.
I recently...
Yeah, no, actually, I would love to try that out. There's a bunch of them I want to play. I think I'm going to get a PSP Vita. I have a regular PSP.
Oh, please do. Please do.
On getting a Vita, and I think I'm going to get a Vita so I can just go ahead and get some of the older ones, because I really want to play the Wolf, what is it called? The Wolf Among Us? The Wolf... What is the Wolf one? The Telltale Wolf game.
Are you talking about the one that we were just talking about?
On Vita. So I'm like, maybe I'll just get a Vita and get that game. And check it out.
Were you referring to the one that we were just talking about? Or
yeah.
Oh, okay. You were saying it in a way of like, I can't remember. I remember a long time ago someone told me about A Wolf Among Us.
I
remember. Oh, it's so long ago in my past.
Shut up.
Only Sam of Megalixir is the only other person I know that has a Vita. And I absolutely love mine. And I fully endorse people to get a Vita. It is such a good and underrated system.
Whenever you say it like that, you know, it sounds like you're saying to get a Vita.
Get a Vita. It's Madonna's best work.
It's
fantastic.
$6 on Amazon right now. just buy it.
Just get it. You can stream the soundtrack on Spotify. You'll love it.
We get a nickel.
Antonio Banderas. It's great.
If you get a double pack of like Dick Tracy and a Vita, do it. It's fantastic.
Sam is the only other person I know who has it.
But the PlayStation Vita is so good, and it lets you play like I can't. The Danganronpa series, hands down. Like I think it's one of the best series I've played in a very long time. I love And the next entry is even weirder because it's a first-person or third-person shooter now in the high school, and you're killing multiple Monokumas and solving mysteries and crimes and things like that. So I'm interested to check that out.
Man, you can't stop those Dangans from romping.
But all the...
That's awesome.
It's mostly...
I got my old PSP in last year around Christmas time. I was playing Persona, the first one, just because I wanted to play all of them. But I got stuck on the final boss, and I got really mad, and I got my DS, and then I haven't beat it yet, so don't judge. But oh my god, I'm so stuck. She keeps changing. She is so hard. Okay, I'm sorry.
But Persona 3 and 4 on the PlayStation Vita are fantastic games, and thank you, Matt Barger, for really introducing me to that series. I'm very excited about Persona 5.
What is the PlayStation of Vita?
But I've been playing, on a lark, I wanted to finish up Shadowrun. So I reinstalled that and started playing Dead Man's Switch.
Oh, awesome.
And I plowed through that in 2 days.
Yeah, it's not very long.
No.
What do you think? Did you end up liking it or not?
I like Dragonfall better.
Yeah.
But the story, I feel like the story was better. I liked some of the characters
in Dead Man's Switch was better?
The story in Dragonfall was better. But... having Drake Armitage, I felt more, that's actually, now that I say it, it's kind of hard because in Dragonfall, the story is shorter, but there's sort of more fluff because it's like, you have to pay somebody that's really expensive. So then you just go on a whole bunch of missions that are related to the story to pay them off. As opposed to Dead Man's Switch, I feel like there are a few extra missions you can go on, but it's pretty much story, which I like.
Side story to Dead Man's Switch,
which I really appreciated.
Yeah,
I like a game that can like just straight up be like, we're a 5 hour game. Fucking deal with it.
Yeah, I guess I get that, but whenever I played through Dead Man's Switch, I will say I desired more.
Yeah,
fluff, just because it felt so much like Neverwinter. And because it felt like Neverwinter, I just said, man, this has the possibility of being like this huge, expansive like game that I play for the next, 6 months or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I started playing it when I was on tour in Texas, I guess a couple of years ago. And the fact that I was done with it before I got back to Atlanta was pretty disheartening. Mm. I enjoyed it, but it was still like, meh, meh.
I like that feeling though. I like the feeling when I play a game and it's like, oh, I was told a story and there was no bullshit. There was no like, hey, my dog is hungry. Could you please go fetch 5 steaks and bring them back so I can feed my dog? That annoys the shit out of me because it's like, to completely sidetrack, and this is what I'm playing. I'm playing Neverwinter, the MMO, the free MMO. Mm-hmm. I'm still playing that. And that's full of that kind of stuff because it's an MMO. It's like, hey, oh, man, oh, this graveyard, and oh, we need these things to stop the undead. Can you go find these 5 things and bring them back to me?
That's what I remember. Hearing a clip about the Lost video game being ridiculous in that manner.
Oh, boy.
And, like, you go up and talk to Sawyer, and he's like, hey, Sassafras, I need 10 pineapples from the jungle. And then you're running to the island to get 10 pineapples and bring them back to Sawyer, and then that stupid kind of bullshit.
We have to play that game for Tadpog. We have to play that game for Tadpog. Because I remember seeing that game at GameStop. It had come out, like... 2 months prior, and it was on the used shelf for $6.
and of course, I will say I totally get the irony of like that on the last episode I was talking about how I hate games that are like go get 5 keys here, like I'll go get 5 keys if you make going to find the 5 keys interesting. I think that's probably it.
I think Resident Evil 2 did. Just to bring it back to Resident Evil 2. You're flip-flopping, Jacob. You're flip-flopping.
Well, no,
flip-flopping.
I just don't think... It felt like go get 5 keys as opposed to whenever I played through Neverwinter Nights, it felt like this is a separate part of the story.
Sure.
And
all those side quests were entertaining.
Exactly.
And that's one thing where I think it's like different. Like, I enjoy all the side quests in like Skyrim and that whole the Elder Scrolls series, but they're completely different because those to me feel 100% fluff.
One, it's
except for the stuff that you just stumble upon. Like that's where they kind of like redeem themselves. And like you stumble upon some lore or something, like some little story that they've set up that you aren't given the story. You just kind of have to figure it out on your own. I think that's really smart.
Some of my favorite shit in both Skyrim, in Elder Scrolls and in the Fallout series are stories that don't trigger a quest.
Yeah.
Like and it feels like you found like a secret that the developers put there to be like, hey, this is only for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're special, you know? Oh, I love
what those. Is it in Fallout 3, that one building that...
The H.P. Lovecraft building?
Where you find the obelisk in the bottom?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking of when you were talking about the Fallout series, was that H.P. Lovecraft building. Man, and I completely discovered that on my own, and that made it amazing because it was like, holy shit, what is this? And why has it not been referenced anywhere?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the plunger room in Fallout 3, just hundreds of plungers and graffiti. What is this? But going back to Shadowrun Returns.
Yes, please.
One thing I really liked about Dragonfall is that team you have, the constant team, and that you can talk to your other members and grow closer to them. And if you say the right things and grow closer, they each have a side mission to further flesh out their story and give them sort of bonus things.
Kind of like Mass Effect or something like that?
Yeah, a little bit. And I like that. I really enjoyed the best thing about Dead Man's Switch is teaming me with Jake Armitage from the SNES game. That was great being able to beat him on those missions. Because really the only teammates you get close to in that game are Jake Armitage and Coyote.
Yeah.
And that's it. So and you don't even have to really do anything with Coyote. That's just if you
She's
save
free.
Her and
you don't have to pay her.
Or a lot cheaper than everybody else and better in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I liked the team and the base and the story togetherness of Dragonfall. Dead Man's Switch, I still enjoy it. You had the Seamstress's Union, which I think is cool. It was just, I enjoyed it to the very, very end. And yes, I love Harlequin. That was cool. And talking to like the person who is clearly Lothwear the Dragon and all that was set up. But God, the end started, that's where it was ruined for me, is whenever those fucking ghost bugs, and you have to use the guns that have low accuracy and only like 2 shots, and it takes 3 or 4 to kill. Only 2 of you can have the guns. So I had to go back, make sure I get a mage that's going to have the accuracy spell and keep them constantly on the 2 players, the 2 people that have the guns, and keep them surrounded by the bugs so it can't go anywhere, and just do that fucking rotation until they all die, and then 3 more spawn, and it's that all over again.
I see your point 100%, and I actually got a little frustrated too when I was playing it, but this is what didn't bother me about that.
Mm-hmm.
When I started getting frustrated, I kind of like sat back, and I was like, this is exactly how it would be if it was tabletop. I mean, it is exactly how it would be. You got 2 of these guns. They're really hard to shoot. Only 2 can have it. I mean, that is exactly how it would be run if it were a tabletop
game. Keep rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Just rolling. I mean, make it work.
Well, I promise both of you to avoid that scenario in any future games that I run. And you too, Levi. I'd like to game with you again sometime.
Oh, I miss it so much.
That's very hard to do.
Gaming all the time. I'm like, I miss playing D&D so much.
You're not playing any D&D currently?
No, not at all.
Oh, I feel bad.
Tyrone?
There's no one really around here that will play with me.
Aww.
That sounds so sad.
That is.
Because the last time I played with you was whenever we drove down to Florida like years ago. And I did like a Cauldron, like 2-3 shot where you just finished the first chapter of Cauldron.
Mm-hmm. I feel confident, Leva, that... after this, I'm sure there will be dozens of people who are totally ready to play D&D with you. I am certain.
I'll put your phone number in the show notes.
Yeah,
anybody that wants to play a game with you, just call
text Leva, let her know. She prefers
pictures.
We'll
put her address, throw in pictures and cash and a letter, perfectly written of like magazine letter cutouts that you've glued together. Yeah. She loves those.
Yeah. And if she says no, call her a fucking bitch. that's the way to her heart.
And if you could rate your experience playing role-playing games on like, I don't know, like a like a period flow or something. Also,
that'd be best.
Jacob, what have you been playing?
Oh, heavy. Fuck. Super heavy. Jumbo.
Nightmare.
Yeah, guys, I haven't been playing base. I've been playing this stupid fucking iPhone game.
I just watched
game.
You play again.
I've been playing this stupid fucking iPhone game. Sorry, Peter Panda. Called Dominations.
Well, as long as it's not about family.
Oh, thank you. We don't speak the Armenian name.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's basically, my understanding is that I've never played Clash of Clans, but my understanding is that it's basically Clash of Clans, but kind of with an Age of Empires twist to it. But it's just like any other fucking iPhone game. It's all it's trying to do is frustrate me to a point where I either quit or give them money. And I'm not going to give them money. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. But like, I think that the last game that I played, because as I've said, Galen and I were replaying through the BioShock series when my Xbox died. So the last thing that I really played was a campaign of Civilization V, which I can get to run on my laptop. And it was the first time that I had played Civ V since I played it, I guess, a little bit ago on your computer, Tyrone.
Mm-hmm. So all those hours that my Steam friends can see, not me.
That's all me. And it was honestly just like a day that I was in town and I slept over here. And I woke up and was like, I wonder if Tyrone has anything interesting on his Steam list. And I saw Civilization V and I was like, fuck, I want to play that. And I stayed here all day.
Oh, that game just, if you put me in a windowless room with Civ V and I started playing, I would not know what time. Like, yeah. I mean, at any time you could come in the room and be like, Dave, what time is it?
And it could be 20 minutes later, or
you'd
it could be...
You pick up your phone, look at the clock, and then directly tell me what time it was, and then resume playing Civilization V.
Which is why, to me, Civ is the ultimate desert island video game. Because it's... I love it so much.
Not and populous?
No. And I love it so much, too, that it's... like, the music triggers emotions in me. Because I spent so much time playing, like... Civ 3, and Civ 2 and Civ 3 particularly, because a friend of mine like gave me a floppy disk with Civilization and Colonization on it when I was in middle school, and I played through a lot of that, but like the music that they pick is so evocative and it's peaceful, and it just, it's like the music started playing and I got emotional.
What's your favorite kind of victory?
I feel like science is the hardest. So I like a science victory, but I tend toward a cultural victory.
Man, the cultural victory feels so good, doesn't it?
It feels
so good. I love like building up the culture to the point where it's like anyone who's playing military is like, well, I can't fucking attack them. Everyone will hate me.
Mm-hmm. And they'll talk to you and say shit like, you know, we're all wearing your blue jeans and listening to your music. And it's, cultural is definitely my favorite. But I really admire a science victory. That's like.
That's how I win Seven Wonders.
Yeah.
You gotta go straight up science. I remember that's how I like crushed in Seven Wonders, the board game, going science. And like Josh Nance, who went full 100% military, came in last.
Oh,
Josh Nance last? What?
Burn! But yeah, so that's. That's what I've been playing, but I haven't been playing much of anything recently. I've been a very derelict video game player. Someday I'll have a video game system that works again, and then I'll be like, guys, have you played this game called Shadows Over Mordor? And like,
and I'll be like, no.
Everyone in the world will have played it like, 3 years ago. And I'll be like, whoa.
Unless it's cheap on Steam or 10 years old, we don't touch it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So we're with you. We also don't have. I mean, I will speak for myself.
Just describe me.
That's well, you know,
we're yeah. four. We're four perfect people to be on a video game podcast.
Although I am really excited to. I really want to play Shadows Is it Shadows over Mordor? I think it's Shadows over
Mordor. I'm going to let you fuck that up all on your own.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Guys, I don't even own this game.
We can also speak the reluctant adult gamers. So it's like, got to go to work, got to do those responsibilities. We'll just talk about all the games we used to play and really love.
Shadows of Mordor.
I'm glad I didn't back you up on that. Man.
So close. Because what could be over Mordor? That's like, that mountain would be super big.
Sauron's eye is over Mordor, Jacob.
Over Camelot. So maybe that's what you're getting.
Maybe that's... That was Shadows over Camelot. That was probably it. But
that
like...
fucking game.
The Nemesis system just seems so fun and interesting. So I'm really excited to...
I'm afraid that I've heard too many reviews about it, honestly.
I get that.
Because it's like, it's to the point now where it sounded like a really cool mechanic, but I've heard so many people tear it apart, like nitpick it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, it's really, really good, but they could have pushed it so much further. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's one of those things where it's, I really enjoy listening to podcasts that do reviews for modern games, but there comes a point where it's like, oh, I've heard too much.
Yeah. Well, you know, and another thing that I feel like I've really kind of almost turned this weird corner in my gaming where I look at the games out and I think there's like four or five I want to play. That's kind of it. And I was just saying to Tyrone that Bethesda comes out with Fallout 4. That's going to be the killer app that gets me to buy a PlayStation 4 or gets me to buy an Xbox One. Mm-hmm. Because like more than likely, I can't afford a computer that I would have to be able to like give the money that would actually be able to have the space and RAM and all that to be able to run Fallout 4. But like outside of that, I want to play Shadows of Mordor. I guess I want to play Watch Dogs because I heard so much stuff sort of in the run-up to it. But other than that, I don't really know what else I'm interested in. I guess GTA 5, I guess.
I want to play Second Son on PS4.
Yeah.
Because I love the Infamous series.
But. Yeah. I don't know. There's so little that I'm interested in. And I do think that part of that has to do with my changing interests as a gamer, which is kind of not exactly like what you're talking about, Leva, but... has something to do with it because the games that I find are really appealing are the ones that appeal to my emotions, not necessarily the ones that appeal to my Twitch sense. So, you know, I loved Heavy Rain. I adored Heavy Rain and thought that it was such an interesting creative twist, even though it was just, you know, basically like an interactive novel, you know?
So the thing about Heavy Rain that I like is like there are so many different endings that... It's one of those games that gives you choice that isn't just the illusion of choice.
Yeah, yeah.
There are enough,
nothing
enough
is arbitrary.
Differences. Yeah, that every little thing can really change the story and what ending and what like trophies you get and shit like that. It was well done.
I feel like we are the only people who really think that. I hear that game gets a lot of shit.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of shit.
Really?
Yeah, and like. There's several shows that I listen to that even mention it today, and like we're doing right now, except that it's in a very negative way. I really enjoyed that game. Yeah. I thought that game was
they're dumb.
I agree.
They're dumb.
I agree.
I just like consequences. I think that's
why Wiley prefers his D&D difficult.
Yeah.
He wants everything to have a consequence. That's what makes it fun.
Well, and that's part of it too, is that like, you know, And one of my favorite games is BioShock, the BioShock series, and they do a good job of sort of creating a world of consequences, even though you just teleport back to the Vita chambers, because
the Evita chambers, Jacob.
Vita chambers. Thank you. Because they will set you up with a situation where more often than not, you are trying to look after a little girl, you know, unless you harvest. And I think that is a great way of sort of like manufacturing the idea of consequences, which is, I had this weird thought the other day whenever Josh was talking about how you're responsible for your avatar in Resident Evil 2. Mm-hmm. And like I went to this like weird place in my brain where it's like, is that why video games are successful? Because like our natural, I'm really going to go off on a weird tangent. Our natural, like, sort of nurturing instinct comes out when we see a thing that we know that we have some part of, like, controlling. Is that it?
Yeah, I think I always think of it, we're just projecting ourselves onto these avatars, but yeah. I think that's really similar.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know I do have some kind of weird emotional attachments to avatars. I mean, yeah. Like, I've played World of Warcraft. Like, I had an attachment to that imaginary character that I spent so much time with.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
that's why it's
I get
hard
that.
To, like, D&D characters, to translate how you feel about, like, your D&D character, talk about your D&D game, because that's such an emotional investment that you can't really convey that as well. Or porn of you pornography. You get invested in imagining it's you and you want
and there we go.
We need to bring it back home.
Well, you know, and that's something particularly that I whenever I talk to people about D&D, it's so hard to express. You know, for our final game in Bandsmere, which was the world that we had, it was, you know, myself and Leva and Josh and, you know, all of these people were sitting around a table. And as we were saying goodbye to these characters that we'd played with over how long?
That game, because we had, with all the breaks, everything included, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about something that we had carried with us, something that we had carved out and made and worked on and thought about for 3 years, and we were saying goodbye to that and going to more than likely never pick it up again. And Leva started crying. And, like, not like boo-hoo-hoo, but just like, I'm struggling and I'm brave and I'm going to hold back my tears crying. And then Josh saw Leva crying and Josh started crying. And it got to this point where, like, basically everyone around the table was crying. And I don't
know. That was probably my proudest moment as a DM.
Yeah.
That I got all that out of everybody.
Yeah. It's like, it's just one of those things where, and it's why I'm like, when I talk to you guys about, like, this play that I want to write about D&D, it's entirely because I want to show the world why I think D&D is important, or at least why it's important to me.
I like that you said that, because it's interesting, because that one of the things that I love the most about D&D is that it's the same game, it's the same rules, but, like, every table plays it differently.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have a feeling there aren't a lot of tables out there, like the one that Tyler ran,
yeah,
where, you know, at the end of the game, we're all just emotionally drained and
yeah,
sad that this is over, that this is something that we're not going back to. So, I know there are some tables that are just...
fuck it, shoot shit.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't
had a game like that again. I mean, I have been able to recapture that really in the games I've done since.
I think a lot of that has less to do with you as a DM and more to do with where we are in our lives and our availability. Because I think that was the perfect time to run that game because we were in college and it became like that became the thing that we did. Like that's what we did.
That was our poker, our whatever. Yeah,
that's what we
bonding
did.
Bonding activity. Yeah.
And we all got emotionally invested. And I mean, through good storytelling and just camaraderie at the table.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was like the perfect recipe.
And we knew that Leva was going to leave not long after you were done, right?
Yeah.
Because that was part of the reason that we knew that we needed to, like, wrap that up, because, you know, Leva was about to be moving to Orlando.
You or both of you, maybe.
I followed, I think, maybe 6 months after she left. Mm. So I had some extra time, but yeah.
Yeah, because you guys did the whole school campaign after I was gone, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Was that when I was in Florida, or was that when I was in Michigan?
Yeah,
you
were in Florida.
The academy.
You were in Florida for that, yeah.
Which now I'm running the third installment of that game online right now, so.
ACV, man. Biggest dickus.
Yeah. Biggest dickus.
But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that sort of got off onto a nice little tangent about, you know, the importance of storytelling.
Thanks for calling,
like
Dennis.
Yeah.
We ended up talking about mages and
motherfucker. That was a really good baseball-related call, Dennis.
Yeah, baseball.
We got one more. Oh! We got one more call.
Let's wrap
it
up.
In the barrel.
We may as well do it then.
This is from the man who walks behind Asian women listening to our podcast without earbuds, St. Zach.
Tad Talk Nation, St. Zach here. Halfway through listening to the LSD Dream Simulator episode, and all this talk got me thinking. I was going to keep this one to myself, but all the dream talk just got me a little excited, and I had to call in. And, well, I had a dream last week.
I'm going to pause this for a minute because I want to explain the expression on all three of our faces at the table. Wide-eyed, a little worried. So, I mean, just remember whatever comes out of your mouth. I mean, you didn't say, oh, actually, he did say not to play it.
I didn't even hear that, did he?
No, he texted me. A long time ago. I hope he wasn't referring to the one where he's following the Asian woman and like listening to the show, because there was definitely something I wasn't supposed to play.
Well, I guess we'll stop that there then.
Oh, sorry. That's behind the paywall. Yeah, sorry, Zach, if I done goofed. If I play,
he didn't get to the dream, whatever that incriminating dream must have been.
But we are absolutely going to listen to it after we go off the air.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
No question.
We'll tweet hashtag Zach's life-ruining dream.
Thanks for calling,
you
Zach.
You want to talk about a motherfucking regretful recall? That shit just happened live.
And if I really did play a call that you asked me not to, I'm really sorry that it was not intentional.
We're all sorry, and we love you. And we know that, like, you don't have any ill will toward anyone.
It might have actually been the one where he called. He made a call where he called out, yeah, Exalted Lord Mike about the microphones. I think it was probably that one.
That's nothing. That's nothing. You're fine, Zach.
Yeah, sorry, Zach. I really am. I really totally forgot. So my bad.
It might have been that. So you want to keep playing?
So do you
want to
keep playing that?
Chance that might have been the call?
Zach, I tell you what. Send me a text after you hear this, and let me know if that call's cool to play.
Because we gonna play it.
Because we gonna play it if it's cool to play. I guarantee.
Have we emptied our?
You wanted my Cajun voice. You got my Cajun voice.
So we've emptied our backlog.
We're done.
Wow.
So
do we have any emails or anything like that?
We don't. I mean, I could read you my spam that I get at dave@tadpog.com if you want. That's a lot of e-surface protector. You guys ever hear of that?
Yeah.
I get email like two a day from them. So
Do you guys Sandwich Lord Phil sent us emails, and he realized that was a fool's errand because we never checked it on Reddit. So
yeah,
I read it. I just didn't reply because, I mean, come on. Who replies to email?
Well, I don't know.
What am I, at work?
So we're trying to do an all-call show at least once a month. So now we're out, and we want to do another one in a month. So please call in. Give us some material to go on, because we really enjoy doing all-call shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fishlips Jay, Cody, let's build that barricade back up. Come on.
I just feel really bad that I played that call. That's all. That's why I'm just sitting here quiet, because I'm like, God damn it, I can't believe that I fucking did that. I sat here and did that.
Well, it's fine.
If that's the rule, if that really was it, yeah, that calling out Lord Mike,
that's nothing.
Zach's overthinking it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Can we just do a giant string of Yoshi sounds over that call?
We love Lord Mike, and we've given him way more shit than that, and he still listens and calls, so it's totally good.
Sorry, Zach. Really, really and truly, I am.
Wow.
Leva, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It was very good. Because whenever we first got that Skype call, then it was like, man, I haven't even heard Leva's voice in a long time.
I know, right? I know.
And I basically lived with you for a year, and it's been a long time.
I think you texted me, whether last week you texted me, but texts, I guess, aren't the same as actual phone calls. So.
And I don't really do those. So
yeah, yeah. And Leva and I, we talk probably about once a month, but when we do, we talk for like bare minimum 45 minutes on the phone.
Usually it's forever. God,
the last time you called, it was like, I have to go right now because I'm at the gym and we've been talking on the phone for 2.5 hours. So I have to go right now.
I'm like, I'm sitting outside Walmart. I'm supposed to be grocery shopping.
So you got the message from Ramon then?
Like 4 hours ago.
To go to the gym.
Yes, I did. I did. Way back then.
The last time I talked on the phone for 45 minutes was probably talking to Dave on his commute back from work from Paducah to Murray. Like, I don't want to fall asleep. Talk to me. I'll run drive home.
Have I told an intro story about my drives back from Murray and Paducah?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, boy. I know what I'm telling next time.
Nice. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes.
Wait. Nope. Give Leva the opportunity to plug all of her stuff.
Plug your multiple jobs.
No, please. Especially, well, if I'll do it. She's got a shop at, what is it? ProWrestlingTees.com/LevaBates. Is that it?
Yeah.
Leva, is that it?
Wait, I missed part of it because you were cutting out.
Damn it.
Is it my Twitter?
No. Well, her Twitter is, she's at Wrestling Leva.
Yep.
For Twitter.
On Twitter and Instagram. I have Facebook. It's Wrestling Leva, the official FB page.
Mm-hmm.
I have a website, which I've not updated in 3 months, so don't judge me. But if you're looking for a store or a way to contact me, you can contact me through there. It's levabates.com. I have a Pro Wrestling Tees store. That she already mentioned, and check out my YouTube show at The Geek Soapbox. You can either follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube, and check out my wacky adventures.
I just really, I really feel like anyone who listens to this show would be a fan of Leva. So you really ought to go out of your way to check her out.
Aww,
of course, come on, of course, I think that. Come on. Okay, I think that's it. And y'all heard me on the last episode.
Jacob, plug your shit.
tinyurl.com/JacobYork. Mm-hmm. I just had a movie open called Paternity Leave.
Yeah, you did.
You want to talk about open.
and then about bottom.
I'll be in rehearsal for Coriolanus at the Shakespeare Tavern in Midtown Atlanta, and that will open in May. So if you want to come see that, see me swinging a sword. Come on out. That's it.
All right.
That wasn't so bad, was it?
Yeah.
It was good. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. So you don't miss the next episode. We're doing this
way out of order.
Our days of future past are weird right now. So I don't know what we're doing. We're doing something. Listen to it. It'll be good.
We don't know what's going on with the Sentinels right now. It's shit is crazy.
It's crazy. Ellen Page is phasing through shit and picking up new powers. We don't know. We don't know. You know what we like? 5-star iTunes reviews. Helps us out a lot. We love them.
Brandon Johnson's?
We love them. We love Brandon Johnson's, Randy Johnson's. I love Howard Johnson's, but
I also love Howard Johnson's.
I don't. Get the fuck out of here.
You never complain when I give you Howard Johnson, Jacob.
Well, that's because it's rude.
You do give me a good Yelp review, so it's all right.
4 stars.
Leva has no idea what we're talking about right now. That's okay. We'll explain it to her. Off mic. So leave us a 5-star written iTunes review. If there's a show you want us to do or a game you want us to do or a guest host you want on a certain show, now Leva applies so we can constantly pester her to be on more shows if you put it in your 5-star review. Or just a tweet or a Facebook message.
We're gonna get Leva to come in. I want this to happen. I want Leva whenever she comes in for Christmas 1 year to coincide with me coming in for Christmas and then have us sit down and talk about like either No Mercy or Total Extreme Wrestling or some wrestling game.
Dynasty what Warriors about, 5.
Jesus Christ.
What about wrestling games in general?
I
feel like that could be a really good episode. Instead of doing a specific wrestling game,
I'd be fine with that. Although I do think that No Mercy should be a specific episode. But everything else, I think, like Fire Pro, Total Extreme Warfare, WrestleMania 2000, like I think that there's a lot of stuff that Leva and I could cover. And Leva gives you an insider's perspective.
Well, I would love to come on either in person or via Skype again. So, yes, I'll definitely come back.
Perfect. Awesome.
You guys, she made Vince McMahon laugh, and that's a fact.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You mean when he was listening to this episode?
Just Pog? Now, yeah, yeah, obviously.
Vince McMahon's going to be a big cat bug.
Who are they? Who are Tyler and Dave? Get them in here. I'm fans.
They're fired. Well, whatever you put in that review, we promise we will get to it
eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about the mutants who apologized to Saint Zach because they telepathically transmitted the message that they weren't supposed to. And they really hope that he totally, totally won't take his Patreon back. in the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. Tyler normally makes an episode post there, and that is the best way that you can tell us how you felt about this episode. We're on Twitter. We're at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who is retweeting us, especially our episode tweets. They really do mean a lot to me. And thank you for tweeting at us. I really enjoyed the conversation about poop diamonds that was going on Twitter the other day. So that was pretty good. Thank you for the eye roll, Jacob. You can call us if you want. We're out of calls, like we mentioned. So we need to fill the log back up. If you want to do that, call us at 270-883-2555. Try to keep it under 3 minutes if possible. If you decide that you don't want me to play it on the show, don't bother texting because I'll totally forget. You should probably just mention it in that very call. But at the beginning, you need to say, don't call that. Don't play this on the show and then give us your message. We got a Patreon. We've mentioned it a bunch of times. If you want to donate to that, you absolutely can. It truly does mean a lot to us. I love seeing when somebody donates, no matter how much it is, truly, because that just communicates to us that you are listening and you like the show enough to support us. And that's really, really cool. If you want to do that, you can at patreon.com/tadpog. That's all I got.
It's good. It's good. I could be a dick and ask Leva because I know she's not going to know, but I'll ask Jacob. Our theme song, Jacob.
Are you sure you don't want to ask Leva?
Leva.
What? No, don't put me on the spot.
Yeah, I guess I'm sure.
Moves by Sycamore
it's
Drive.
Like midnight, almost midnight 30 here, guys. So put me in the spot.
We almost used almost midnight 30 as our theme song, but we went with Moves instead. So.
Where can a link to that track be found?
In the show notes at tadpog.com.
Yeah. How are we going to close this out?
As Leva.
Yeah.
Our best Leva impression?
Come on.
Okay.
Of course.
Leva, I expect you to do a Leva impression, not just talk. A good Leva, like when Josh Nance does the Josh Nance impression, Leva Bates doing a Leva Bates impression. She probably doesn't know what we're going to say.
No.
Leva has never listened to an entire episode of Tad Pop.
That's okay.
Probably ever.
That's all right.
Leva, at the end of this, we're going to say, until next time. And then at the same time, we're all going to say, Tropical Capricorn. Okay?
Tropical Capricorn.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, here we go.
Yeah.
So, until next time.
Tropical Capricorn!
Falsetto like a motherfucker.
Whoa, that WD-40 worked. That's a silent door.